Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater's presentation of part one of Spare My Brother, written by Jim Dowling, a resident of Old Shasta, California. Scratched Up Radio Theater is a local production of KKRN, listener-supported and volunteer-staffed community radio, 88.5 FM. KKRN is licensed in Bella Vista with studios in Round Mountain and Redding, California. My name is Bob Christensen, and I will be your host for the evening. Tonight's presentation is part one of a two-part series based upon the Ruggles Brothers stagecoach robbery which took place in Shasta County. In the spring of 1892, the Ruggles Brothers robbed the stagecoach which ran between Weaverville and Redding. In the course of the robbery, Charles Ruggles was shot with a shotgun by the stagecoach driver and badly wounded. The older brother and leader, John Ruggles, responded by firing into the stagecoach, wounding Buck Montgomery, the guard, who later died. Charles was arrested at the scene of the crime. John got away with a strongbox and was arrested about 6 weeks later in Woodland, California. The strongbox and its contents were never found, as far as anyone knows. Our story begins with John being incarcerated in the Shasta County Jail in Redding. At the time of his arrest and incarceration, John did not know that his younger brother, Charles, had survived the wound suffered during the holdup. As our story begins, John has just been placed in his cell.
Hey, neighbor. Come on. I seen you when I was brought in. Thought a little conversation might help pass the time is all. All right, be that way. Let's rot together in this hellhole. Son of a bitch.
John.
Say again?
John. It's me, Charles.
What the? I thought you were...
dead. Right? Say it. That's what you thought.
That's really you, Charles? Well, you don't know how this makes me feel. Hallelujah, brother, hallelujah!
Surprise, surprise. It's me, all right.
I know. You deserve an explanation.
Don't bother. Listening to you's what's got me here.
Charlie, boy, it wasn't easy. I had to. You was hit bad. Bleeding all over, barely alive.
So you took the money and left me there on the ground to die. No better than a gut-shot mule.
You'd have done the same, you know it.
That's where you're wrong. But it doesn't matter anymore. It's over. I had a good life. It's over.
Maybe. Maybe not. Anyone tell you what was in that strong box came off the stage? Gold. 5,000 worth. Amazing what a person can accomplish with that kind of money.
Not when you're behind bars.
Well, you'd be surprised.
You're crazy as ever, brother.
The gold's hid. No one's gonna find it. And that, Charlie, is my ace in the hole. Don't you see? I know where it's hidden. They want it back.
And you think the gold's gonna save you?
Well, save us!
You're leaving out one thing. The Wells Fargo man that got killed. Listen up. His name was Buck Montgomery. A good man, they say. A father with two young sons.
Meal time. Quit your bickering, boys. Got some beans here for you. Here you go, Charles. John.
What the? No bacon in these beans? Miners eat better than this.
You best save some of that vinegar for the trial. You ought to be grateful. People around here don't waste their money on prisoners. You're lucky you get anything to eat. Where are my manners? I believe there is a way we could spruce up those beans a bit.
Yeah?
The gold. Just a little hint. A tiny one. Do that and I'll be happy to throw a little bacon on that plate. Hell, onions too.
I told you, it's in Middle Creek, attached to a float.
Everybody in the county has waded up and down that creek. If it was there, they'd have found it. Charles, you care to add anything?
It's like I told you before. I got no idea where it's hid. That's the truth.
The Ruggles brothers, right here in the Shasta County Jail. Boy, howdy. You know, you boys is the biggest thing to happen around here in quite a while. Hotels filling up with newspaper people. I can't walk out that door without someone running up and wanting to know all about them Ruggles boys.
Oh, hear that, Charlie? We're famous. So, Sheriff, what you telling them?
This may disappoint you, but I assure them we got a fine jail here. They ain't going anywhere.
Well, come on. I've been locked up before. I know what you say. There's some bad pistoleros in there. Pure meanness. Born killers. Keep your women and children off the street. Brother, we're like Billy the Kid and Jesse James. They'll be writing books.
Don't humor yourself, John Ruggles. You have more pressing concerns at the moment. This town's in mourning for the death of the fine young man you shot down, Buck Montgomery. But the clock is ticking. The sadness is gonna pass, and I know this town. Ah, there's a storm a-brewing out there.
Storm a-brewing. Don't be trying to put the scare in me, Sheriff. I've been through this before. Did a spell in San Quentin.
Nothing to brag about. It's common knowledge. Robbery. 18 years old. Did a couple of years. Came out and resumed a life of crime. Fine example of prison reform. But it's a damn shame you brought your brother into this. Charles, John over there, he's quite the talker. But I'm guessing you're the one with sense. How'd all this come about, anyhow? You don't seem the criminal sort. They say you've been to college. If that's true, you're better educated than the rest of us. And over on Iron Mountain, they say you're one hard worker. So why, a man like you in the prime of life, don't add up?
Sheriff, you ever have an older brother, someone you always looked up to, wanted to be like? Well, it's like that. Blood. I was brought up you don't turn your back on family.
Even when family takes to robbing and murder? Even when family leaves you for dead? What's this world coming to?
We've come to see the prisoners, Sheriff.
Ma'am, they're rough characters. I know you all mean well, but I'm sure there's others more deserving of your ministering.
Nobody's beyond redemption, Tom. You come to church a little more often, and you know that. Now, may we proceed with our work?
All right, all right. Come on in. What's the harm? Whoa, hold there one second. What you got under the napkin, ladies?
It's all right, Lily. Show the sheriff.
Oh, God, if it ain't blackberry pie. For those two rascals?
Yes, absolutely. Where can we set this down?
On my desk would be fine.
It's nice to have visitors, ma'am.
Yum, that smells good.
Those two robbed the stage?
Lily, this is no social visit. We are here offering sustenance, that of the soul and that of the body.
Well, how about we start with the body?
Hush! Now, in hope of drawing you closer to the Holy Spirit, I will say a few words. Let's bow our heads. That means you too, Tom. Lord, we stand before two melancholy men who have renounced the righteous path to undertake scurrilous pursuits. While, Lord, on this side of the grave, may they repent, be spared the terrors of eternal punishment, spend in their confinement in reflection and prayer. And let the hand of eternal wisdom grant justice. Temper the deep furrows of guilt with your divine mercy. Soften their steely hearts and extricate these captives of sin and Satan from worldly lusts, that they may emerge from the bowels of perfidy, not only cleansed, but full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And finally, should the time arrive, we beseech your all-encompassing compassion be directed towards these bereft and pitiful souls, hackneyed and hardened with atrocious crime. Amen.
Oh, you feeling it, brother? That tingling inside? Positively uplifting. Hallelujah, I am filled with the Spirit. A changed man.
Damn it. She is trying to help us.
I don't need it. Go find someone else to save. But you, young lady, you might have a little more luck selling me on the righteous path. Maybe you could, lay hands on me. supposed to be real effective.
Okay, that's enough. We're done here. Right this way, ladies.
Those two come from the same mother?
Morning, Gus. Hey, don't be forgetting the spittoon.
Don't be forgetting the spittoon. Jeez.
Hey, John. Meet Mr. Hickman, floor sweep par excellence.
Well, pleased to meet you.
Everyone in this town is scared of you guys, talking like you big-time gunfighters or something. Newspaper people want to know what you talk about and what you eat. A kid come up to me and ask if I could get an autograph. Well, let me tell you something. You don't look so high and mighty.
Oh, Lordy.
Don't you turn your back on me. I got things to say.
What's with this guy?
He's harmless. Hat band cinched a little tight.
Gotcha.
Yeah, let him say his piece and he'll be on his way.
Okay, floor sweep. What's on your mind?
That's better. You oughtn't to be messing with me. I know where them guns is hid. I could go in there right now and grab one and say, you two was trying to escape. Boom! I could do that.
Well, no need, big guy. You're no one to fool with. I could see that right off. A dangerous man with a dark and mysterious past. The broom, simply a handy disguise.
Name's Gus Hickman, and don't forget it.
Well, hear that, Charles? This here's Gus Hickman. Sweeping the floor and keeping things tidy around here.
And just like you guys, I've done things. Bad things. Plenty.
We quail in thy midst, Gus.
Quail? What's that supposed to mean?
It means we recognize a fellow outlaw when we see one.
You do?
Sure. Isn't that right, Charles? We'd be honored to have Gus Hickman ride with us.
Damn. Really?
Why not? Every outlaw gang needs a good housekeeper.
Lay off him, John.
Bet you're one bad hombre with that broom in your hands.
I know what's going on. I do. You two are nothing. You hear that? You're nothing.
Now why'd you do that? He looked up to you and you just strung him along.
He was a fool.
Just like you did me.
Come on in.
Morning, Sheriff. Beautiful day, isn't it?
Certainly is. Your ma, where's she at?
Who knows? Church, most likely. I brought a little something for the prisoners.
That's very thoughtful. Oh, look at that. You know, there ain't no one in this town bakes quite like your mama.
I made it myself. Peach pie this time. I picked 'em myself.
You baked it?
That surprise you? I cook every bit as good as Ma. Case you ever noticed, I grew up a while back.
Sheriff,
you blushing?
By God, he is.
Why don't I take that delectable pie off your hands? Oh, and it's still warm.
Not fair.
Oh, just like this morning.
What's everyone talking about?
His way of reminding us of certain things.
A policy issue, ma'am. Appears to be a tariff on baked goods passed through these bars.
The king takes his cut.
Huh?
The blackberry pie you brought this morning? Said he was going to take it outside, have a close look, make sure there was no file buried inside.
Contraband, he called it.
The sheriff was gone for quite a spell.
Came back with two small slices. Declared it was safe to eat.
Well, slivers they were. But the mess! You'd have thought he'd gotten a fight with that pie.
Crumbs in his beard, blue stains running down his shirt.
An indigestion.
Terrible indigestion. Flatulence, ma'am.
Frightful, a foul wind.
Okay, stop. It wasn't like that at all. They got the damn pie. Plenty. As I recall, enjoyed it, too.
Ah, just funning you, Sheriff. No offense intended.
Nice of you dropping by, Lily. I think you best run along.
I can't talk to them.
Well, don't make her leave. Have a heart. This woman is a ray of light in a dark and lonely place. A cleansing spring in a parched desert. A voice melodious as birdsong in the dead of winter.
Please.
The preacher's daughter, I might add. All right, but make it quick. You got 5 minutes. That's it. I'll be right outside the door. And Lily, you need me, just holler.
Thank you. I mean for coming here. We don't get visitors, other than the sheriff, no one to talk to.
Must be real lonely.
Oh, it is, but the worst part is the waiting. It's like a bad dream. I wish I could go back and change things, but I can't.
Oh, please.
Where's your family? Don't they care?
Well, tell her, Charlie. Tell her how we expect our caring parents to show up on the next stage so they can shower us with all that affection and support we grew up with. Tell her.
No one's coming.
You ain't got a girl?
No. No girl.
You?
Lily. Now that's a real pretty name. The Lily I know, she's a preacher's daughter too. Works the Red Garter down in Corning. Even the sheriff out there might like that one to pay a visit. Doubt she cooks, but she got plenty other talents. Oh, turn an old fella like the sheriff into a young buck overnight. You know what I wish? That they get our damn trial underway.
Ma'am, he wasn't always like that. He was a good brother.
I wish I could do something.
You done a lot just by coming in.
Time's up.
Come on, Sheriff. What's the harm in my brother spending a few moments with this fine young woman?
Harm. I don't suppose you've met her daddy, Missouri Bob.
What's Papa got to do with it? I'm 17 years old. I can come and go as I please.
No argument there. But say your daddy was to stroll in, see you here all by yourself without your mama, bringing pies to two criminals. Lily, just telling you, should you care to know what 18's like, I'd be on my way.
Bye. Bye, Charles.
Morning, Sheriff. Gorgeous day, isn't it?
Appears to be consensus around here. Oh, I see you've got a little something for our prisoners.
I do.
Mind if I...
Certainly not.
Biscuits! My God, they wouldn't be buttermilk, would they?
My own recipe. Pa calls them puffs of heaven.
Puffs of heaven?
Yeah. Look close, Sheriff. Isn't it amazing how they plump up like that? Nice and soft, too. Go ahead. Touch him if you like.
Touch him? Okay, that's quite all right. I get the picture, Hannah.
Brought some honey to go with him.
Honey, too?
That's okay, isn't it? I'm not breaking some law, am I?
Of course not, Hannah. But law, it is a complicated thing. All these procedures I gotta follow never ceases to amaze me.
Procedures?
Absolutely. The law states, and I quote, all articles not accepting baked goods that are to be given to prisoners must be thoroughly inspected by the sheriff or officer of local jurisdiction.
Here we go. Inspection time.
Keep a hold of that plate, young lady.
The word out of you two fellas and...
Oh, Sheriff. There's no file buried in them. Just biscuits. Eggs, flour, a little milk.
File? You've been talking to Lily.
I did.
Jigs up, Sheriff.
Where's Emmett? Your daddy know you're down here?
Now, why we got to involve daddy? Just get him all upset. Besides, there's plenty to go around.
Now that is the kind of girl I like.
No preacher's daughter. All right, 5 minutes, and Hannah, don't put up with any sass.
We don't have much time. I know this lawyer in Red Bluff.
I'm listening.
Name's Bud Tate. Owes me some favors.
I bet he does.
Stop it. He can get you out of here. He swears it.
Hey, Charlie, you listening? Did I not say money talks? Well, carry on, young lady. Name your price.
You're a smart man, John Ruggles.
Well?
$2,000, up front, day you walk out of here.
Ouch. Kind of steep, don't you think?
Leaves you plenty, and you know it.
John, take it. We are in no position to negotiate.
Ah, that would be the voice of wisdom. My brother. He's the sharp one, you know. Been to college.
Hurry, he's coming back.
All right. You got a deal.
And how's our little chit-chat going?
Just fine, Sheriff. Mighty fine.
Better than you can imagine.
Best visit we've had yet.
I suppose that's a good thing. But the biscuits ain't been touched. Something wrong with them?
We thought you'd like them, Sheriff.
All of them?
Every single one.
Why, thank you. You know, Hannah, you certainly have done wonders to the mood around this place.
Oh, that's so kind of you, Sheriff. Goodbye. You have a wonderful day, Sheriff.
Am I missing something here, boys?
Hang down your head, John Ruggles. Hang down your head and cry. You and your brother Charles, well, both of you are gonna die. Born in a lonesome cabin way up in the hills. Needed some extra money to pay your whiskey bills. You should have learned your lessons when you were a kid. You could have gone to college just like your brother did. Now hang down your head, John Ruggles. Hang down your head and cry. You and your brother Charles, both of you are gonna die. Shouldn't have brought your brother into your world of sin. Soon you'll both be hanging, blowing in the wind. Killed poor Buck Montgomery while holding up the stage. You surely should have known you'd end up in this jailhouse cage. Hang down your head, John Ruggles, hang down your head and cry. You and your brother Charles, both of you are gonna die. By this time tomorrow, I reckon where you'll be. Here in downtown Reading, hanging from a white oak tree. We're having a necktie party, you cooked your own damn goose. Soon you'll both be dancing, swinging from a noose. Hang down your head, John Ruggles, hang down your head and cry. You and your brother Charles, both of you are gonna die. Said hang down your head, John Ruggles, hang down your head and cry. You and your brother Charles, both of you are gonna die.
Hi, this is Elsie Ritchie of Scratched Up Radio Theater, and one of the really exciting things about our radio plays is the fact that they are all by local playwrights. And today we are very lucky to have Jim Dowling, who wrote and directed Spare My Brother. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Elsie.
So we've been looking forward to getting a chance to talk to you over the last few months, and finally, we're in the same room. And I really would like to know how you started out as a playwright.
Oh, wow. Well, I could bury a lot of time on that one. It goes back about 5 years, and a dear friend of both of ours, Bill Seamer, came back from the slabs with a bunch of poems, and he wanted to turn them into a book. And then a guy named Bob Christensen came along and said, why don't we make a play? And so Bill and I collaborated, and we had a lot of fun, and it was a nice play. It had a good run. And then when that was over, we'd had so much fun with it, we decided to write another play. And that's how Spare My Brother came along.
And you've been a writer for a number of years. Did you start with novels, short stories? What was the beginning of your career?
I co-wrote Moby Dick. No. I started off, and I'm still writing short stories. I've had a few published. That's really what I started off with in writing, yes.
Have you been interested in theater for a long time? Did this...
It was that whole Bill Seamer thing mm-hmm. that got me going. And I'm loving it. I don't like the acting part nearly as much as I like the writing part. So,
you have a interest in California history and Shasta County history. When did that begin?
Oh boy. I was a history major in college, so I've always had that you know, I've always liked history. And the Ruggles brothers' robbery just lent itself to a good story. There's so much not known about it. I mean, I think it was turned into sort of a mythology immediately. One of the stagecoach robberies of 1892, sort of the end of that wild era. And so separating fact from fiction has been difficult, and it gives the playwright a lot of liberty. Yeah.
And Spare My Brother started out as a stage play, I understand. And what's it been like translating it to radio theater?
Good question. You kind of have to close your eyes and say, what is the listener visualizing when you switch over from a regular play? So, it's a bit of a challenge. You know, you have to fill in the blanks, the things that people would see on stage. You got to figure out a way of having them hear those things. Yeah.
So can you give us an idea of what might be coming down the line in terms of plays that we might get to hear?
Yeah, I don't know where plays come from. I would like to do more Westerns, but I'm a lot like a lot of people who write. Inspiration comes out of the blue, and, you know, I'm toying with a science fiction script right now, but my heart is in Westerns. I want to do another one of those, and soon.
And do you have any message that you'd like to send out to budding playwrights locally?
Send your scripts in, and we will give you an address. We are looking for scripts. We're looking, you know, this is a community thing. We'd love to get a bunch of voices, new voices in, and if this sounds at all interesting to you, if you've written a short script, you know, we're looking for about 20, 25 minutes, and we are hungry for scripts. So keep that in mind.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Oh, thank you, Elsie. It's good to see you.
And that concludes part one of Spare My Brother. Part two will be aired on Thursday, May 17th at our regular time, 8 p.m. Tonight's cast includes Nick Brown as John Ruggles, Spencer Deardorff as Charles Ruggles, Dickie Majidoff as the Sheriff, Elsie Ritchie as Linda, the preacher's wife, Terry Orwig as Lily, the preacher's daughter, Keisha Wilkins as Hannah, and Bob Christensen as Gus Hickman. If you would like to help Scratched Up Radio Theater and KKRN stay on the air, please go to kkrn.org and click on the donate button. While you are there, take a time to look around the website to see our schedule, list of programs, and other information about us. If you are interested in becoming a KKRN programmer, you will find information on the website to help you get started. If you would like to know more about the station, we will have an information table at the Whole Earth and Watershed Festival on April 21st, 2018 at Reading City Hall from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Please stop by and say hello. KKRN's Spring 2018 On-Air Pledge Drive begins on April 23rd, 2018 and wraps up on May 2nd, 2018. We are listener-supported and depend on your donations to help us stay on the air and do what we do. Please do what you can. Every gift, large or small, is greatly appreciated. Our on-air pledge drive will be followed on Sunday, May 6, 2018, by one of KKRN's famous pancake breakfasts at the Round Mountain Community Center from 8 a.m. until noon. There will be live music, raffles, a silent auction, and a great breakfast. Thank you for listening to tonight's performance. We hope to be with you for part two of Spare My Brother on May 17th at 8 p.m., either here on KKRM FM 88.5 or by streaming live at kkrn.org. Thank you again, and good night.